and a mother is on her infant.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Please move forward, inshallah, please. There's plenty of space. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He is the absolutely wise. Nothing happens unless it is by his will. And never will a soul ascend to earth or leave it unless it is his by permission. May Allah's peace and blessings be forever be upon Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. May they forever be in tranquility and serenity in the presence of Allah, residing in his kingdom of heaven. Their light is a reflection of Allah's light. Light upon light. Nurun ala nur. Allah guides to his light those who wish to be guided. May their light be our guide forever, showing us truth from falsehood and guiding us towards Allah with parables and tests, until we bear witness to the vivid truth, the certainty which is Allah. May Allah have mercy on us, and may He clothe us with His characteristics. The characteristics of patience, wisdom, strength, and whatever good we desire, so we might serve in His name, inshaAllah. Akhwi wa akhwati, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the
intellect daily. We question the integrity of ourselves. We question the integrity of God, whether He exists or not. The fact that there is so much evil in this world. And thus we have a constant quagmire in our head, questioning at all times, does God really exist? And is it really true that I need to submit to Him? And this is a question really that many people pose, that in fact every human being on earth poses this kind of question, because Allah has laid a very unique system forward. And whenever I ask these kinds of questions, the only answer I typically can come for is, number one, I love life. And the fact that I don't like evil, and the fact that I don't like injustice, and the fact that even an atheist rejects the existence of God by demanding that evil should not exist and that good should be prevalent is evidence in and of itself of a great system. Because if a non-believer in God can demand from God that the world be a good place, otherwise I don't want to believe in you, and that is not by training, but by the nafs, which Allah says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. By this self, this soul, which Allah has perfected and taught it wrong and right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to go there and says to me that though you don't know who I am, for you cannot see me physically, for I cannot be seen physically, because that would belittle my position, but you will see me through my creation. You will see me with your heart. And if you question this integrity, then question the validity of your own existence. And ask the question that if this life of yours were taken, or those lives that are being taken away from the people around the earth today, do they make you unhappy? Well, then that's proof and evidence that life is great. And it is proof and evidence that the Creator is indeed merciful. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, given us this faculty, sent messengers to guide us, sent imams to protect the message, and has left in this world for us to now figure out who we are and what our qualities are. We are blessed, undoubtedly, in this month of Muharram, that we as Muslims, especially the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, we begin our new year with sadness. As you know, New Year's Eve is around the corner. People are preparing to pop champagne, get drunk, be merry, be wild, be happy. Whereas we, the Muslims, are preparing ourselves with sadness. We're going to commemorate a tragic event that sets the standard to these questions that I just posed, that sets the equilibrium in motion that you and I need to follow in order to understand who we really are. And we begin our new year with sadness. And those who are the non-Muslims begin typically their new year with happiness. Which one's better? We need to discuss this. Because I know these are the kinds of questions we need to understand as Muslims, especially living in a very pluralistic religious society, that I, as a Muslim growing up in the West, and when my non-Muslim friend asks me that question, why do you begin your new year with sadness? Because there is this inner notion that when you are sad, you're almost defeated. When there is a sense of sadness, there's a sense of defeat. And when there's a sense of happiness and joy, when there's jubilance, it's almost victorious. So why do you Muslims begin, especially the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, why do you begin your new year with sadness? There's this inner notion of thinking that maybe we're defeated. Maybe we will become too somber, we will become too sad, and therefore we will not be so productive and progressive. So these are issues we need to talk about. These are issues we need to understand in light of the spectrum of all that's happening in life. And you will see in the further discussions we will have that actually sadness is a very positive thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's unique system is that anything and everything you and I look at, no matter what it is, has two sides to the coin. Even salah, if you do too much of it, it can be bad. Charity, Allah says, give just enough, not too much. What is too much? Too much to be destructive, to destroy the other side. You notice that everything has two sides to the coin. When we talk even about Allah, who is the most central figure in mankind's existence, even that Allah has allowed to be denied. Even that Allah has allowed for a human being to reject. Allah says, look at this. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ. This of course has a physical reality of two natures, but if you go on a spiritual level, you'll find there's two sides to everything. And these two sides is where the whole debate takes place, this trial. Allah says, إِنَّ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. We created this man from a clot to test this being, and therefore we gave it seeing, ability to see and hear. Allah says this ability in the environment of everything that you and I need to take, and we need to take inward so that our hearts become soft, so that we become submissive, the process of what we take has two sides to the coin, which becomes very slippery. The minute I hold on to something, you see, the skeptic will come and say to you, maybe not. Maybe not. What you're saying is not right. Maybe not. You find it becomes very difficult. It has two sides to the coin. So Allah is actually demanding from me constant struggle. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. Keep struggling. So then what is the bottom line? Allah says, I made this system. It's a difficult system. No doubt this world is a difficult world. And when we look around the world today, many people are confused. Many people don't have the right grasp to reality. Is it because Allah has denied us, or is it because we have denied it? I'm a firm believer that the infinite mercy of Allah would never have brought us, had it not been for His mercy, we would not have existed. So how can Allah misguide anybody? But then what is it that is so slippery, two sides to the coin, that everything flips? Allah wants me to look at both sides positive. This is my point. That as much as a thing can flip on the opposite side, Allah wants me to see 360 degrees. He doesn't want me to see one direction. He doesn't want me to become tunnel vision. He doesn't want me to become single-tracked, single-minded individual. That's a dangerous individual. That's a dangerous individual. So when I look at the spectrum of life and the religions in the world today, and the various religions, and every religion has something to project forward, claiming that it is correct. And I'm just one of those, raising my banner up there and says, no, I have it. I have the ethics. I have the morality. I have the system. And Allah says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say to them, bring your evidence if you're truthful. These commemorations of Karbala should not just be ritualized. They are a great gift of Allah. Every session we have, every time a pulpit is used where knowledge is imparted or received, it is one more factor to solidify this flip-flop world we live in. And unless you and I have a broad vision and understand the spirit of Islam, the spirit of Islam, unfortunately, most often is not presented in the world, even by us Muslims, I'm sorry to say. I look at even our Christian brethren, they are very single-tracked. I look at people of other religions, single-tracked. The judgment passing on each other is so vicious sometimes. It's not what Allah has created. We as Muslims, I as a Muslim, the way I see Islam and the reason I am a Muslim is not because I was born a Muslim. Sure, it directed me there. But I'm going to spend the rest of my life ensuring that this deen that I've held on has credibility, because the gift that Allah has given me, which is this intellect, and my desire for good, and my desire for truth, should be enough of a driving force. That when I commemorate the Shahada of Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wassalam, and when I commemorate the Shahada in Karbala, it's not just a story that happened 14 centuries ago. It is so pragmatic and practical to me today that it solves my problems today. Otherwise, it's nothing but a cyclical ritual which is impossible in the system of the right religion. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
We need, brothers, I'm just laying the grounds. Tonight, inshallah, the next two nights when I'm speaking, I'd like to lay this ground that we as a Muslim community, mashallah, you see in the month of Muharram, the places pack up. Whatever the speaker it is, people come. The rest of the year, it's shallow. You look at our young generation, if you don't excite them with some material gains, with some kind of an incentive, they don't feel a need to come and worship Allah. They don't feel a need to represent themselves as Muslims. They find that the worldly attractions are sufficient for them. They're just not enthused about it. What is it about this Shahada of Imam Hussein that took place 14 centuries ago that you and I as Muslims latch on to? Now you might say, well, a great event took place. True. 100% true. And the event, what I love about the event, is not the desert of Karbala. It's not the white horse that Imam Hussein rode. It's not the double-edged sword that people claim that he was holding. None of that stuff. Those are all issues that have no meaning to me, if not for the principal meaning of what Imam Hussein went for. It means nothing to me. It's one aspect of a story in a desert, in a period of time. Somebody can argue with me, why did you choose that frame of time? Why not another frame of time? No. There's a value in it. And what is most amazing to me is that the more I break this event of Karbala, the more I see answers to my life. This is what drives me there. This is what makes it practical for me. This is what takes me towards Allah. This is what is proof to me that Allah did not leave me bereft of guidance 14 centuries later living in North America. No. He left me with something that is so powerful, but Allah says, you need to open the chest. You need to look at it. You need to take it. You need to use it. So I'm saying that this somber attitude that we have in Muharram, where we start our year with sadness, I think it's a very positive thing if you and I approach it positively. What does it mean positively here? You see, when I get sad, when I see injustice taking place, and I become sad, I can either go into a spiral and shut myself in a room and go into absolute depression, or I rise and I make sure no injustice takes place. Today, what is the problem, brothers and sisters? We will talk about Imam Hussein. We will talk about his whole family. We all know it, alhamdulillah. And we need to repeat it over and over. Because repetition, Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. Who is this يَخْشَى? Who is the one who is going to listen? The one whose heart is already ready for information, for truth, for a proactive, positive life. This is what we're talking about. Allah says, remind them. You find in a gathering, thousands of people will listen to the same lecture over and over and over. You look at them, they're 50 years of age, they haven't changed. You ask them, why haven't you changed? Hasn't this message been strong enough? It's because the individual has never proactively bothered to find out the true meaning of what this message is all about. It's just a ritual because I was born in this generation and I need to keep up with it. I hate to put this comparison, but I was just watching Christmas Eve on television. And I noticed churches filled with people. Filled. In fact, in Germany, there was an argument that in Germany they charge a tax, a church tax, for Christians. And the reason is many people don't register themselves as Christians. So Germany appears to be more atheistic. But actually, there are lots of Christians. Germany is predominantly Christian. But they don't register themselves as Christians because they don't want to pay the tax. Christmas Eve, churches are filled. And there's a big argument by Germans saying that, hey, we are paying the taxes, we should get first entry and we should get the best seats. There's a big discussion. Anyway, on the radio show, this discussion was taking place. I was asking the question, all year, no one goes there. Why this one year you need to go? What is it about the human race? That for the rest of the year, God doesn't exist, or God is on my peripheral vision, and I can do what I want and be merry as I want and break the law, or don't even worry about what the law is about, but that one day I need to give my reverence to God. What is it in this being? Are you not that convinced that if for 364 days a year you don't worship a God, what stopped you from making 365 days? Why not 365 days don't go? It's a mercy that they're going. It's a mercy that they're going to church. I think it's a good thing that they're going at least one day. For maybe there is hope that they will hear something good and maybe their lives will change for the better. It's a mercy. I look at it as a mercy. But I always ponder and question human nature lest I become one of those that maybe I'll push aside my religious duties only to give reverence to my Lord one day a year. We see this problem even in Muslims, in Islam. What is it, brothers and sisters? We need to discuss this. We need to look at life positively and see this tremendous value that Allah has given us, and we will get it based on what we want from it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا لِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah doesn't change the state of a community unless the community changes itself first. Look at Al-Huda Center here. Inshallah, you'll be doing reconstruction of this facility. You're going to be building a new facility. Three stories, many features in it. Alhamdulillah. It's not going to happen if you don't do fundraising and you don't sweat it out and those volunteers don't give their time and effort. The rest of the world can look at them, but they have a vision and they keep struggling. And then tomorrow when we enjoy the benefits of a nice facility with good programs and more children, inshallah, will become more enlightened towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the parents can have a better lifestyle and a better future. It doesn't come for free. It required a proactive movement. This is another message of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that while injustice was taking place, when we live in a world today that you raise a finger and the Umayyad Empire, which exists today, will come and strike at your door and bring you down, if not imprison you. What does it take to stop what's happening in Gaza today? What does it take? You listen to the news. Lies upon lies. You try to make sense, but each side claims they're right. If you became a judge, you'd be dizzy. You get sick. You don't know which side to push the gavel on. And say, which one? Of course. That's when we trickle down and ask the basic question. And people say, I have a right to claim this land. Forget about all these rights. What happened to basic human rights? I think that's where Islam is right. I think you and I, brothers and sisters, need to focus as Muslims and the rest of the human race on the basic human rights, basic human characteristics, basic human transactions, which we are so lacking, which I think is the reason why we're moving so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what do you think intrigues us the most about him? His powers? Did he have powers to fly? He's an imam, ma'asum, never lied. My respected brother, he said, "Qulina salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin." I ask Allah, who's my example? He says, look at them. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. We purified them. These are your examples. You will find many role models in this world. You will watch television. You will watch great leaders. You will be impressed by them. But if you ever tested them, you will never get the full proof, except from representatives of Allah. What made Imam Hussein so great for me today? His powers? No. His perfect human nature in transacting at the human level, where his social skills are perfect. This is what Imam is for. This is what the Prophet is for. Nothing more. If you look within our communities, I'm sorry if I'm slicing this way, but I need to. Because we have an issue. And it's bothering me, and I need to touch it, because I feel Allah has blessed us too much. The gift of Islam, the gift of life, is too much. We need to use it properly. Look, I'll give you an example. Human race at large. Look at the human race at large is good. Doesn't matter what religion we belong to. The human race at large is a good race. People don't wake up in the morning picking a gun and shooting at each other. They don't do that. People don't want to murder people. People don't want to cheat and steal. The general human population doesn't like to do that. It's a minority that does it. If you ever observe all the carnage taking place in the world, all the death that's taking place, it's a minority pushing the buttons. And the poor soldier, who has no intent to go and kill, is being forced to go and kill. The general human population. The Muslim Ummah, the same. The Muslim Ummah at large is undoubtedly very good. Yet when we hear stories within our community, try to do business with each other. Go into partnership with someone. Give a promise to somebody. Get a promise from somebody. You notice we're being shortchanged all the time. Constant. There's a constant shortchanging somewhere. Go into business, watch out. Don't do it with this guy. Do it with an outsider, because you're going to get robbed. Why? This is what Islam is all about, brothers and sisters. Nothing more. If I can go outside and open a company and I can hire my brother and give this key to my brother, knowing that my business is in good hands and I am fair with my employee and my employee is fair with the employer, isn't that a natural sense of happiness? Isn't that what life is all about? That you want to wake up in the morning and feel good that there is a level of trust and that you are also trusted? Isn't that what it's all about? Look at the paradox, brothers and sisters. As much as we will cry for Imam Hussein, we will go through every ritual and we will talk about every detail of Karbala. The minute we walk out, we've lost the essence of this true nature of Imam Hussein. That when he went to Karbala and when he stood in front of the enemies and he asked them questions and he looked at them with humility and with clarity and to show them that he's the Imam, it wasn't to bring a great momentous movement other than this basic human nature of goodness in trying to promote good. Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." You are the best in the ummah. Who are you? You promote good, you forbid evil, and you believe in God. Why Allah? Because I'll tell you, under every rational argument I can bring forth, goodness has absolutely no meaning without God in it. Because goodness, by its very standards, I can see it on a rational level in my pragmatic approaches, but I still am left with the question, why goodness is fixed? Why even a disbeliever in God insists on promoting good? What is it about Allah's system that is so firmly fixed that every human being, regardless of race, nationality or religion, has to promote good and has to forbid evil? Otherwise they might as well cease to call themselves human beings. What is it about that other than the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
My brothers and sisters, when we are asking this question, that in the world today, many people have lost their faith in God. How? In what way? You find majority of the human race believes in the existence of God. But many have lost faith in coming close to Allah. This is a fact. What I'm stating is a fact. You go to any major place of worship, you'll find that there is a decline. I think personally, from all religions, as far as its pragmatic and practical approaches, you see that only within Islam, because of the five daily prayers and what Allah has laid with Hajj and all these actions that we have, you find that the most practicing religion out there in the world, at least outwardly, is Islam. No doubt about it. But why is there a decline? I think the reason is because we haven't taken the true essence of what Allah has given us. We've kept a religion as a guiding light for us, just as a title. Give me an identity, and then put it on the side, and let me do my own thing. What happens there is children start to see double standards. These double standards causes confusion. Children start growing up, they see parents say one thing, they do something else. The community says one thing, they do something else. Children get confused. That is the worst state of affairs. To correct that confusion becomes highly problematic. As we grow older, we begin to see these misrepresentations that leads us into a spiral. The reason we commemorate Karbala, the reason we commemorate Ahlul Bayt, is every time we look at them, we see consistency. You see, Yufuna bin Nadri wa yakhafun. Yawman kana sharrun mustatira. Who are these people? They keep their promise. وَيَتْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. They give for the love of Allah. Consistent, consistent, consistent. That consistency culminates to a point when Yazid comes into power. A little history here. You find that Yazid comes to power and decides he wants to do the same thing all other religions before got. What was that? Come in, keep the shell, change the substance. Let the world perpetuate their story, the one that they implant, and the rest of mankind can be lost forever. So keep the shell of Islam, take the substance out, and let the people die with it. If I look at all religions in the world today, if you look at the root, they all have the true religion behind it. But Allah has kept it. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah kept it. He says, I want to show you what it truly means to be a follower. So what you find is, that Yazid comes into power by the followings of his own father. He wants to basically dismantle Islam. If you look at his actions and transactions, no doubt. Because what is Islam? If someone was to ask me, what is Islam? Islam is the promotion of good and the demotion of evil. Any man who takes the authority and becomes a king and wants to promote evil and demote good is not Islam. I don't care what you call him, what caliph you want to give him name, what title you want to give him after his name. It has no meaning to me. Yazid wanted to dismantle. The consistency of Ahlul Bayt reaches that point where many a times you and I may not have the guts. When we're taken to give up this religion, to give up this representation, or to follow the religion of truth. This is where Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the famous hadith of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, "In kana deen Muhammadin, lan yastaqim illa biqatli." This is a hadith. How authentic it is, it's irrelevant. What is the principle behind it? What is the essence that Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, I'd rather die with dignity than live under humiliation. Ask anybody. Doesn't it say, even the adage in North America and the West, what does it say? Give me liberty or give me death. Isn't that the famous statement, right? Give me liberty or give me death. Why? Because the human essence is at the level of liberty, dignity. And this is what Karbala is all about, brothers and sisters. Tonight is the second night of Muharram. The month of Muharram is monumental in that it is one of the months which Allah has mentioned that is a holy month in Islam, the month of Muharram. We find in the month of Muharram, Imam Hussein alayhi salam had already become the Imam, Muawiyah died, Yazid became the Caliph, Imam Hussein alayhi salam now, as a silent Imam, remember Imamate, the role of Imamate that Allah has chosen for Imams is to guide mankind, at all levels. Yazid and his father changed the course that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established. You might ask, why did Allah allow that? That's a secondary matter to discuss. But Allah is showing us by His decree that no matter what you do, the Imams are what has brought all this positive relationship. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as we know, was silent. He even told Yazid, I will not temper with your authority. But Yazid was a greedy man, was a man who wanted power. And there is a historical fact that if you study, that whenever a person becomes a king, at least in the false sense of the word, where they claim a right that's not theirs, they are never happy until they legitimize it. Legitimization gives them stability. And no group of people have ever wielded power on the human race and thus caused destruction than those who have come under the banner of God and religion. You'll find, go to the papacy and study the papacy, you'll find in the name of God they ruled. A lot of killing took place, but you find it's a classic game. In any leadership position, everybody knows that you wield the most power when you come under God. Because now you become the tongue of God, and that's when you kill. So that's why when non-believers say, the reason we don't like religion is because so much death has taken place in the name of religion, I always say to them, true, but you do admit that it is religion that gives the most power. But there is an abuse of people claiming to be religious, which has brought all this death. But that doesn't make religion wrong. It makes the person pretending to be under the guidance of this religion, which we call the classic case of a munafiq, who is a hypocrite. Under that condition, yeah. But does it mean that because there is hypocrisy, we throw out the religion? Among atheists, there are hypocrites. There is no human being on earth that we haven't experienced that did not practice some level of hypocrisy. What is the solution? The solution is to remove the hypocrisy, but to keep the purity. So religion wields power. To give you a simple example, Napoleon Bonaparte, when he crowned himself King of France, he brought the Pope from the Vatican. He brought him to France to have him coronated. Why would you bring the Pope? The reason was because he wanted to give credibility to his authority. Yazid had the same issue. Yazid knew that Imam Hussein alayhi salam will not give him allegiance because he doesn't represent Deen al-Haq. But Yazid knew this is where power lies, the power under the religion of God. And the satanic elements, the shayateen, realized that the only way to mix this up in the most evil of ways is not only go for power, but go for power where there is the most power, which is Allah's power. Take it and stop it, shred it, and enjoy the benefits of it as long as you can live. This is where this head clashing comes. This is where I, as a Muslim today, and I feel honored in the commemoration, as sad as I am to commemorate the Shahada of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as sad as I am to feel that the human race before me could mete out this kind of injustice on a pure family of the Holy Prophet, which the Prophet says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَ. I want no reward but that you have love for my near ones. This is how it's meted. Allah wants me to see it. Allah wants me to see what the Prophet loved most. He said, anyone who hurts Fatima hurts me. Anyone who hurts Ali hurts me. لَحْمُهُمْ لَحْمِي وَدَمُهُمْ دَمِي أَنَا حَرْبٌ What does it mean? Allah is saying to me today, people say, what is it about this commemoration? Brothers and sisters, the Shahada of Imam Hussein in Karbala, as far as I'm concerned, is the Shahada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Brothers and sisters, this Shahada is pivotal. We cry not because we're weak. We cry not because we're defeated. No, never. We will never be defeated. Allah says, إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. But this crying is good. Why is it good? It's good because it touches justice. When I see an innocent person being killed, I must cry. If I can be indifferent, if I can be cold, and I can just simply look at a person being killed and not shed a tear, something's wrong with me. Mamari says, مَا جَفَّتِ الدَّرُوبِ إِلَّا لِقَسْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ وَمَا قَسَتِ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَّا لِكَثَّةِ الدَّرُوبِ. Hearts don't get hard unless they're filled with sin. Tears don't come out because hearts are hard, and hearts don't get hard unless they're filled with sin. كَثَّةِ الدَّرُوبِ. So I'm afraid that my heart should not be filled with dhunub, such that when there's injustice taking place, I should not feel that tear. This is Islam, brothers and sisters. Islam is when we see any human being, black, white, tall, short, doesn't matter. If there is injustice taking place, then that tear should come out. Even if you can't raise your finger because the enemy has forced you down, the tear should come out at least. That Allah is saying, I'm testing your heart. Do you have any feelings for the human race? For that is Islam, brothers and sisters. That Imam Hussein alayhi salam, going to Karbala, is that feeling. That to me, he has given me the energy of understanding what it means to cry when there is injustice. To cry when there is lying. To cry when there is falsity. And to cry when I sin. To cry when I sin. Because at the end of the day, if we don't get connected to this, what is life all about? Allah says in the Quran, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتُم مَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُ.
اللهم صلي على محمد وآل محمد.
Allah says in the Quran, when they're asked, who created this universe? They say, Allah. Allah said, glory be to Allah. Don't say Allah. Allah means you're not connected. You're a deist. God is out there somewhere. He left me alone. Allah says, no. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to you than your jugular vein. So this is where my Islam is, brothers and sisters. I look at the world and I look at all the religions. I say, one thing that is most powerful in all of us is this power of justice, the intolerance to injustice, and not siding with people of evil and injustice. This is Islam, brothers and sisters. This is Islam. Today in the world, many people are being killed. We look around, conspiracies everywhere. Human lives are being torn apart. One man robs $50 billion. And a government comes and bails him out with billions of dollars. A poor person may have been caught with a little crime, spends 10 years in jail. This person ruined millions of lives. He goes to Club Fed and he's going to spend a couple of months and then come out and then the president is going to pardon him. This level of injustice is what hurts. But this is where I stand, brothers and sisters. That the power of Karbala is when there's a collective movement, when the human race rises with their banners and says, we will not tolerate injustice, then the unjust ones will be afraid to raise their swords. This brings me to Kufa. Muslim ibn Aqil goes to Kufa. They write letters to Imam Hussein. We are your Shia. Come. Muawiyah has died. We are with you. The principle is the same today. You find Muslim ibn Aqil, Imam Hussein is doing Hajj. He says, send Muslim ibn Aqil. He says, you go, his cousin. He says, I send you as my representative. Go. The people have invited me. Prepare the way so that I will come. you find that when Muslim ibn Aqil goes into Kufa, he's received very well. Look at the nature of mankind. The Islam of mankind, brothers and sisters, and I conclude tonight. This is a very strong point for me. And I worry about this every single day. On which side am I on? Every day I ask this question. And these 10 nights of commemoration leads me to deeper into this. Muslim ibn Aqil goes, he's received well. Muawiyah had an advisor, his name was Tharjun. Actually, some say he was a Christian who was an advisor to Muawiyah. And Muawiyah said to, Tharjun said to Muawiyah, in the future, if you ever have a problem, send Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad is a vicious man. He has no heart. He's a reptilian, the Saddams of today. No heart. They kill. But if you really look at such people, even the Saddams, they are cowards. When they're found in the hole, when the military pulled him out, he says, I'm the president of Iraq, I'm ready to negotiate. What a coward. Allah says, you were born in that hole, and now watch, you will die in that hole. Allah says, hold seal of Iraq, go see. You think this powerful people who build big palaces are important? You see the military walking in their palaces with nothing. Nothing. You say Ibn Ziyad was a coward. History shows Ibn Ziyad, known as Ibn Marjan, was a coward. But look how cowards win. Cowards win when the people who are supposed to rise for justice don't. Cowards win. When Muawiyah had died, he left this letter to Yazid. And Yazid sends Ibn Ziyad immediately to Kufa. Ibn Ziyad was already the governor of Basra. But now he's going to be a governor of two places because they knew his viciousness. But even his viciousness means nothing. You find Muslim ibn Aqil has already reached Kufa. Kufa is already beginning to prepare. Yazid knew that if Kufa rises, his authority will be challenged. So immediately sends Ibn Ziyad. They say Ibn Ziyad enters with his face covered. And people thought Imam Hussein alayhi salam is entering Kufa. So they came to cheer him. And he's looking at each one of them and seeing who is the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then he starts to hit. But the number of people he had and followers was so few that the people of Kufa could have trampled him in 1 hour. Like nothing, they would have thrown him like a fly. But the people didn't. They became cowards. Then Muslim ibn Aqil is leading Salah. By the time he finishes his Salah, Hani ibn Urwa is behind him. No one is there. This message is for me and you, brothers and sisters. How much Islam do you have in your heart? How much desire for justice and how much intolerance for injustice do you have in your heart? Otherwise, don't claim to preach or don't claim to love your Lord. Muslim ibn Aqil is left to wander on the streets. That yesterday he was a prince. Today he's knocking on doors. No one wants to open the door. And he's thirsty. He says, just give me my human right. Just give me water to drink. People said, no. We are afraid of Ibn Ziyad. Isn't the world like that today? Brothers and sisters, this is the message we're talking about. But what I love about Muslim ibn Aqil is that as much as he was cornered, his vision for Allah, his vision for justice, that even if he's alone, he's ready to fight. This is where I admire. Me, 14 centuries later, I can look at a leader like Muslim ibn Aqil and say, may I have a little bit of his blood. May I have a little bit of his strength. Then maybe I will be alone tomorrow to fight for justice and there'll be no one to help me. Then Allah says, take lesson from Muslim ibn Aqil, because what I created in you on Judgment Day is so valuable if you rise even alone. Allah says, إِنْ يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. When God helps you, no one can defeat you. Muslim ibn Aqil begins to fight and he's cornered. The army comes and they find out his hiding place. He pulls his sword and defends. They say that he continued to fight. They cornered him on a street. And they knew that the minute you're in an alley, you cannot fight in a barrage. So they started throwing, pelting rocks from above onto his head. And they moved him into a ditch. When he finally fell into it, he had cuts all over his face. And he was finally grabbed, taken to the governor's palace. And Ibn Ziyad questions him. And of course, as you know, Muslim ibn Aqil is killed and thrown, his body is thrown from above, from the roof of the palace to the ground. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مَنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. May Allah give us the tawfiq, brothers and sisters, in these nights, with the rahmah of Allah's mercy in everything, to use these facilities, to use these programs, that we become better Muslims, inshallah. May Allah give us the tawfiq. As-salamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله.